This week in KMA Land, KMA Land congressional reps react to U.S. Venezuelan invasion. Ernst comments on ICE Minneapolis shooting. Page County jail construction approaches next milestone. Mills County officials seek clarifications on land inspection agreement. Fremont County flood protection program nears completion. And former Red Oak Mayor Shauna Silvius is a new job. I'm Mike Peterson. Major national and international developments dominated the news in the first week of 2026. On Saturday, KMA Land residents awoke to the news that the United States attacked Venezuela and captured its president, Nicolas Maduro. Maduro and his wife were taken to a Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, New York, where he was arraigned Monday on U.S. charges, including narco-terrorism conspiracy. KMA Land reaction to U.S. military strikes in Venezuela fell generally on both sides of the political spectrum. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley voiced his support in a statement Saturday, saying Maduro was a fugitive of American justice and was responsible for killing hundreds of Americans. Speaking on his weekly public affairs program before the briefing, Grassley says he believes the actions will hinder the distribution of drugs across the world from Venezuela.
I would expect that with the protection that the Maduro government and he gave, and the military backed it up to the cartels, that if it doesn't destabilize them, it's going to put a real change of action on their part, how they deliver the drugs.
President Trump indicated the U.S. is running Venezuela temporarily and is expected to seize the country's oil reserves. The president also asked American companies to revitalize the country's oil industry. Grassley says it would be beneficial for the South American country to see a boost to its oil infrastructure.
Oil is a big asset for Venezuela, and the economy is down a third from what it was at its height. It's a country in poverty for the most part. And if they can get back to exporting oil pre-2000, when I think that's when Chavez took over, then I think that that's going to be very helpful to all the people of Venezuela.
Grassley, however, also criticized Trump for excluding members of the Senate Judiciary Committee from a Monday briefing regarding the attacks. In a joint statement, Grassley, who chairs the committee, and Illinois Senator Dick Durbin indicated they are following up to ensure the Judiciary Committee receives warranted information regarding Maduro's arrest. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst says President Trump took decisive action to hold Maduro accountable and stand up for American lives. In an interview on KMA's Morning Line program airing Friday morning, Ernst stated support for U.S. military action in Venezuela, calling it a law enforcement action.
This is not war. We are not at war with Venezuela. What we did do was a snatch and grab of two people that we had a valid warrant for. And that was through the Department of Justice. So the Department of Justice did utilize our military to help enable and secure them as they went in. But what we saw was then that the FBI was the ones that were transporting the, you know, so-called president of Venezuela and his wife back to New York City, because it is a law enforcement action.
Iowa 3rd District Congressman Zach Nunn praised U.S. troops for carrying out a mission sending a clear message. The U.S. will defend its citizens and hold terrorists accountable wherever they hide. In a recent interview on KMA's Morning Line program, Nunn stated support for U.S. blockades imposed against Venezuelan oil tankers that he claimed were aiding terrorists.
I am very grateful for President Trump hearing us, enforcing sanctions, and seizing these ships that are funding the type of extreme elements, whether it be narco-terrorism we're seeing coming out of Venezuela, whether it be direct threat terrorism out of places like Iran. Most of these are Iranian-backed tankers that led to threats against the United States and the Middle East, or whether it be Russia that clearly is presenting a global threat and operating under the radar.
Iowa 4th District Congressman Randy Feenstra thanked the president for authorizing Maduro's capture and expressed gratitude for the bravery of U.S. troops, quote, who flawlessly executed the critical mission. Northern Missouri Congressman Sam Graves called Maduro, quote, a ruthless communist dictator who has been engaged in narco-terrorism for years. While overall praising U.S. military efforts against Venezuela, Nebraska Congressman Don Bacon expressed concerns that Russia will use this to justify, quote, their illegal and barbaric military actions against Ukraine, or China to justify an invasion of Taiwan. In a recent CNN interview, Bacon says he supported a resolution calling for the Trump administration to seek congressional approval on Venezuelan military efforts under the War Powers Act.
I could support operations against boats, the drug boats, but I think the president has to make a case to the American people, to Congress, and what we're doing in Venezuela. And I believe it should come with an authorization, or if we vote against it, no authorization. I believe it's in our Constitution. And I believe that check and balance. And I believe it's what the founders wanted us to have.
While praising U.S. troops, Iowa Democratic leaders largely condemned Trump's actions in Venezuela. Iowa Democratic Party Chair Rita Hart says, quote, our system of government has checks and balances to ensure the objectives our military is given are necessary and wise. She adds, quote, our courageous soldiers should not be put at risk or asked to enter long-term wars, occupy countries, and rebuild governments without the consent of the governed. Another major event took place within the U.S. Wednesday morning when a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent shot and killed 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good, a U.S. citizen. Video evidence shows an unidentified ICE agent shooting and killing Good in a Minneapolis neighborhood. In that same Morning Line interview Friday morning, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst repeated the Trump administration's allegations that the woman stalked and impeded ICE activities before the shooting incident.
What we saw then demonstrated in this particular incident was a woman who had been tracking these ICE agents all day, and she did try to intervene in their jobs. We know that ICE agents are out there. They are using legal authorities to apprehend those that should not be in the United States, those that are rapists, murderers, again, those that have entered the country illegally should not be here.
At a news conference Wednesday afternoon, U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem called Good a domestic terrorist, something Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey and other authorities dispute. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and members of Congress called for an investigation into the incident, something Ernst says she supports.
There should always be an investigation. You know, this is the worst of the worst possible outcomes to any situation is when a life is lost, whether it's an ICE agent or whether it is someone that is engaged in activities, whether it's against ICE. It doesn't matter. Anytime a life is lost, there needs to be an investigation.
When asked whether she would welcome ICE activities regarding illegal immigrants in Iowa, Ernst replied 100%. Construction of a new Page County jail is expected to hit another major milestone over the next couple of weeks. Representatives of the Samuels Group updated the Page County Board of Supervisors on the project at its meeting late Tuesday afternoon. Chris Falk is Samuel Group's on-site superintendent. In addition to the concrete slab work expected to start over the next week or two for the generator, Falk says plans are also in the works for more permanent power to the facility on the county farm just off U.S. Highway 71 south of Clarinda.
So they're getting ready to maybe pour some concrete with the nice weather that we're having. So they're working on that. They're wiring up transformers. They're going to put some lugs and the breakers out there, and we're going to start powering up the building. So then we can kind of get rid of all the temp power, and they're going to pull some lines around the building so we've got permanent power, which is a pretty big milestone.
Falk adds work on the fire suppression system is underway. Meanwhile, he says electrical crews have taken strides in recent weeks.
Electrical crews are still working on some rough end. We did finish 95% of the CMU walls are up, and so electricians are still working on some of their insulation boxes and stuff on that.
Falk says WSDI, which has been working to install the facility's detention equipment, also got its latest delivery ahead of the ceiling installation.
They got the second delivery of detention cell metal and wall panels, along with some security ceilings. So they've been working on installing walls and bracing and getting ready to put the detention framing up so they can put the ceiling in.
Ground was broken on the 19,700-square-foot facility in March. Plans call for the project's completion in July. A new year means a new job for former Red Oak Mayor Shauna Silvius. Avoca officials announced earlier this week that after a search process, Silvius was selected to serve as the next city administrator, succeeding Tyler Trout, who resigned late last year to pursue a similar position in Charles City. After being elected to two terms as mayor of Red Oak, Silvius' last day in office was December 31st. Her tenure with the city of Avoca is expected to gear up later this month. Silvius tells KMA News she's excited to move into another part of city government in southwest Iowa, adding she felt it was a good way to also help with economic development in and around Avoca.
You know, I was most effective as an economic developer while being a part of the city because we work so collaboratively together. So I feel like it's really a natural fit for me to move into this position so that I can influence economic and community development initiatives at the forefront, I guess. So I had some people reach out to me and suggest that I apply.
Prior to her time as Red Oaks mayor, Silvius also served as executive director of the Montgomery County Development Corporation and has worked at the regional level with the Omaha Council Bluffs Metropolitan Planning Agency. Silvius, as the city of Avoca, went through a comprehensive hiring process, including interviews with city staff, tours of the community with other applicants, and meetings with various community stakeholders and residents.
I felt like I was at home with so many of the community members and just everybody. It was a real great experience and a great little community with so much going for it. Great staff that were just really engaged in the whole process along with department heads. And, you know, they've done a ton of their planning.
Silvius also thanked Avoca Mayor Tom Bruck, the city council, and the hiring consulting firm for their work on the search process and for their confidence in her to fill the position. Prior to his resignation in November, Trout served as Avoca city administrator since July 2023. Red Oak officials want better enforcement of city code in the new year. At its regular meeting Monday evening, the Red Oak City Council discussed code enforcement, including multiple provisions related to parking on residential lots, nuisance vehicles, and renting residential properties for storage. Red Oak City Administrator Lisa Cotter says the discussion helps provide guidance for their new nuisance and animal control officer. Cotter says one topic that's a source of many complaints is several vehicles parked on a residential property not sitting on an approved surface.
Oftentimes we'll get a complaint that says, hey, there's lots of vehicles in somebody's backyard. And right now the code requires that you have some sort of a surface that you park things on. And if it's gravel, then you have to have some sort of a border around it. And it has to be coming off of some kind of a driveway if it's in the front yard. So you can't just drive over the curb. It has to somehow have access connected to a driveway.
Connor adds vehicles parked in streets are also asked to be moved every 48 hours, while trailers must also be attached to a vehicle. Connor adds staff also look for more items than just registration while addressing junk or nuisance vehicles.
We have some vehicles where you can tell that it's been sitting in a spot for so long that like the tires are literally like sunken into the ground. We had a couple this last week, like no tire. It's just the rim, again, sinking down. We have campers that are a foot into the ground and they might have windows out. They're not operable. Some are not licensed. And so we're trying to do what we can. The one exception to having a vehicle that would be, you know, something you're fixing or it's not licensed, as it has to be in a garage.
Cotter says another area of growing concern is vacant residential properties rented out for vehicle or trailer storage, but she notes it's not allowed because the properties are not zoned commercial. Mills County officials seek additional clarifications on a land inspection agreement related to a proposed carbon sequestration project. At its regular meeting Tuesday morning, the Mills County Board of Supervisors tabled action on an agreement with Snyder & Associates to provide the land inspection services during the construction of Tallgrass's proposed carbon dioxide pipeline in the northwest corner of the county. County engineer Jacob Farrow says Snyder & Associates initially provided only hourly rates for its various positions. But upon following up with Snyder representatives, Farrow says the engineering firm estimated total fees of around $200,000 based on around 1,500 man hours.
1,500 man hours is a lot to put towards this. One person, 40 hours a week, is 2,008 for the whole year. So even if they have two people, full time, but it's still quite a bit. So talking with Kevin, because he handles utility permits, he's going to reach out and kind of ask them how long they think their construction is going to last.
Farrell says Snyder representatives indicated they would likely have one or two technicians present, depending on how Tallgrass's contractors work the project, with contingencies for a third technician. While the total dollar figure estimate is large, Supervisor Lonnie Mayberry emphasized the pipeline company is expected to reimburse the county for expenses.
That's something I want to make clear, is that it's, we're not using our money to do this, so we get stuck signing something that we're responsible for, yet we don't get reimbursed. We're not going to pay them unless they pay us.
The board is expected to discuss the agreement further at its regular meeting next week. Well, today marks the 50th anniversary of one of KMA Land's most horrific disasters, one shaking not only the city of Fremont, Nebraska, but the entire region. For Fremont residents like Dave Polson, the events of January 10th, 1976 still carry deep meaning.
Well, it tears me up now to even think about it, what all went on that day.
At 9:32 that morning, a natural gas explosion ripped through the Hotel Pathfinder, a focal point of the community since its construction in 1917. 18 people were killed in the explosion and accompanying fire. Two more died of injuries days later. More than 40 people were injured in the incident. It remains the deadliest fire in Nebraska history, and at the time, the deadliest explosion in U.S. history. Polson was a Fremont Fire Department member at the time of the fire. Polson tells KMA News he was at the Christensen Lumber Yard a few blocks south of the hotel that Saturday morning looking for materials for a basement project. Then suddenly,
I heard this big rump, big sound, and I thought it was just two train cars running together right outside the building where the railroad tracks were. And I looked out, and I could see smoke raising up over the buildings, and so I knew I'd have to go to work, so I just told them at the lumber yard that I was leaving and I was going to go back to the station.
After arriving at the Fremont Fire Station, Polson and other firefighters were sent to the hotel where they witnessed an incredible scene.
There's just big gaping holes in the street right next to the hotel because the sidewalk came out from the hotel basement. And when the explosion went from the gas, it blew the sidewalk out and blew all that concrete up in the air and all over the street and the buildings next door and everything else.
Firefighters and emergency workers from other communities joined those from Fremont in the disaster response. Once the fire was brought under control, Polson and other fire crews entered the charred building's upper floors with a city boom truck to hunt for hotel occupants.
At one point, we came into a room, and there was a woman laying in bed, and I thought she was gone. I went to check her, and she rolled over, looked at me, and said, "What happened?" And I couldn't believe it. She was still alive.
Other individuals inside the building at the time of the explosion weren't as lucky. Many of the deaths occurred when a restaurant, lobby, drugstore, barber shop, and other parts of the first floor collapsed into the building's basement. Polson went home at around 6 that evening, only to return with other firefighters the next day to search for bodies of individuals reported missing. Miraculously, he says some who fell into the basement survived.
Smoke-filled, dusty from the explosion, but they got out by crawling out and hollering for help, and people would bring them out. When the fire department got there right off, there were ladders put down into the hole to the basement where there were people trapped, and they took them out that way.
Fremont residents hold a special presentation of remembrance of the Hotel Pathfinder incident this morning at 10:30 at Keene Memorial Library at 10th and Broad Street. That wraps up this week in KMA Land. Be listening each week at this time for This Week in KMA Land. And for more information all the time, log on to KMALand.com. You can also hear this program in its entirety. For the entire KMA News team, this is Mike Peterson. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This week in KMA Land, a presentation of KMA News, keeping the region informed for 100 years.